I looked at the video clip of the short truncated version of the William Tell Overture that you have on your website. So it's kind of a sneak preview of your April 18th concert. And I was pleased to see that you are continuing the tradition of organists who love really, really brightly colored socks.
Not brightly colored registrations, just brightly colored socks.
That's right. And so, but there's a reason for that, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the practical reason is that we play with our feet and people want to see what the feet are doing. And when you're wearing sort of, you know, dark pants, dark socks, dark shoes, you just don't really, doesn't really speak in terms of a visual element. So the first time I remember I was doing a concert and they were videoing and the video guy said, look, I can't see your feet. And I thought, well, what can I do? I'm not going to put sequins on my shoes, as some of my colleagues would do and still do. I thought, I'm not going to be trashy. So why don't I try colored socks to kind of highlight where my foot is? And then that kind of stuck. And then I thought, oh, I'll make a little thing of it.
Well, you know, it really is very effective because when you're watching someone play an organ, especially an organ like the Kochmar organ, being able to see what someone does with their feet and then looking at the five keyboards that you have going on, what you come away with is really good organists have to be some of the best multitaskers in the world.
Yeah, in theory they should. We should. And I actually do this this crazy mind-body exercise thing called Bikram yoga. So it's a very hot room with high humidity, but it's not about the physical thing. It's about the concentration and the mental application. And my wife jokes that I was pretty good at the balancing stuff when you use your concentration from the get-go. And I think that's because I spend all my time, as organists do, trying to coordinate and focus and center our mind, because we're dealing with so much stuff that's moving and flying around and hands and feet and stops that to be able to center and kind of focus is a skill that we have to teach ourselves.
Well, it's probably also I would say kind of maybe a relief. Like some people get off work and they go and, you know, run or bike to blow off steam. And I'm thinking with everything that you have to do playing the organ, maybe you're blowing off steam.
Yeah, I think so.
Is the concentrated.
Yeah. It's physically incredibly demanding, but more so is the mental part. That, as you said, we're using our mind in all kinds of crazy ways that we don't even think of as organists. Because we're coordinating the hands, the feet, playing the music, but then the stops. So we're changing all of the sounds. And every organ is completely different. It's not like sitting down at a concert piano where you have your 88 keys, sometimes more, sometimes less, but you're basically, you know, dealing with the same thing each time. And we're dealing with completely different instruments, different key actions, different sounds, different families of sounds, different rooms and acoustics. It's like a different world every time we sit down and play.
Is that part of the fascination? I'm guessing it is.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, I grew up as a pianist and I absolutely love the piano, and you can do so much with the colors of the piano and all kinds of voicing that you can't do on the organ. But it was when I first heard the organ, and I remember thinking there were three or four or five instruments I remember clearly hearing, and they were all so different. And I think that was one of the things that got me, that the potential for difference and for all these different sounds was just enormous.
How old were you when you started focusing on playing the organ?
Well, my parents obviously recognized I had some kind of musical ability, or I was just irritating and played the piano all the time, one of the two. And so they
said, the organ would get you out of the house to practice, right?
Well, I hadn't thought about that one, but yeah, now I know how they worked. Oh, just shocking. So I was they signed me up to be a chorister at the cathedral in Chelmsford, where I grew up, just about 30 minutes north of London. And they had a wonderful choir there. They always did radio broadcasts and tours, and they thought that would be a really good thing for me to do. So when I was about 9 or 10, I started that. And of course, all of the stuff we sang was recorded, was performed with the pipe organ. And it was right behind us. So we're sort of sitting in these rows and these choir stalls, and right behind where I stood was the organ console with stops and the keyboards and the organist, and everything would be moving and the keys would be moving. And I thought that was the coolest thing to watch and to listen to, but it was the visual and the oral elements that I think really fired me up. And from that point, from about 10 years old, I said, I want to be an organist. I want to be doing that. And I'm 33 now, so it's been going well ever since.
So you've been doing that you've been playing the organ for 23 years.
Well, I would like to say yes, but my first teacher, who was the music director at the cathedral, said, you have to get to a certain level in your piano before I'll teach you the organ. Because 90% of what, you know, we would do at that point is keyboard stuff. And then when you're tall enough to reach the pedals and old enough to be mature and practice, he said, I'll teach you the organ. So it was more like when I was about 13 or 14 that I took up the organ, and all of this pent up sort of excitement just unleashed. And I would practice for hours and hours. And my mum would have to bang on the side of the church where I practiced, you know, make sure I wasn't dead, sort of slouched over on the organ bench, lying on all the pedals. So I just knew that that's what I wanted to do, and absolutely loved it.